The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. Valentine's Day is just around the corner, so shop now with BubbleGenius.com and pick up their Fresh Pick Suds Flower Soap Gift Pack. A selection of pretty flower soaps and a host of delicate floral scents, and you can carry your flower soaps with you in an adorable little reusable vinyl bag. Only $12 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code BobAndChez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now, let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
This was not written for chiefs.
What you mean not written for chiefs? Of course there is for chief.
Hear me. Hear this! We the people, that what you called Eid Plebnista, was not written for the chiefs or the kings or the warriors or the rich or the powerful, but for all the people. Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning out of the words, we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution, these words, and the words that follow, were not written only for the Yangs, but for the Kongs as well.
The Kongs?
They must apply to everyone, or they mean nothing. Do you understand?
I do not fully understand.
The best music on the best station.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Today, David Axelrod has a column in the New York Times saying, why Donald Trump? Look at Barack Obama. Barack Obama won because it was the opposite of George Bush.
What?
Donald Trump is the opposite in all his attributes, then you could say Barack Obama.
That's never going to get old. That is so, so absolutely brilliant. It's so brilliant in its complete lack of brilliance.
It really is. It is Thursday, January 28, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob, that's Chez right there. We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best damn soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Get free legal advice at thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez. Or just click the link in the podcast page. You'll see the link. It's on the right side of the podcast page. It's got a picture of Charles Bowen talking on an old-timey phone while sitting on his desk. I assure you his technologies are more advanced than that. I promise. Okay, so big show today. Lots of things to talk about. Lots of things we've been covering quite extensively on the show this year so far. I guess we're going to start out. Farewell. We've got to say a sad and fond farewell to the Tarp Man.
It's a trap.
No, Tarp. It's a Tarp.
It's a trap.
No.
Poor LaVoy.
LaVoy Finnegan decided that he was going to defend his tarp, his little tarp home, with his gun, and it didn't quite work out for him. See, what happens is, this is not make-believe. When you defy the federal government, when you defy the police
you break the law.
By breaking the law, eventually, they're going to want to stop you from breaking the law. Now, evidently what happened was they set up a roadblock I guess it was a tip they received. The law enforcement received a tip that some of the militia guys from the wildlife refuge were going to try to go to some other location. They were going to try to travel to some other town to try to recruit some people, and then they were stopped.
They were going to set up a quote-unquote shadow government.
That's right. With their
because this stupid farce didn't have enough cosplay.
Jesus Christ.
didn't have enough ridiculous terminology.
I mean, it really is. I mean, it's very much like an episode of The Little Rascals, where it's like the little boy pretend version.
Need to set up a shadow government.
It seems like just a lot of grab ass and a lot of just make believe. They have this weird sense of delusion, and I mean, again, it's like a like we've been saying all along. It's like a Christopher Guest movie or something.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's just so stupid. Yeah. So these guys tried to like run the blockade, so to speak, and they got stopped. Let's see. The news story goes like this: law enforcement officials have offered some details about the death of Oregon militant Lavoy Finicum. The Tarp Man. Everyone loves the Tarp Man.
It's a trap!
No! Tarp. And they revealed that his fatal shooting was recorded on video. A law enforcement source described the fatal encounter to CNN, which reported that Finicum attempted to drive away from a traffic stop at high speeds before crashing his pickup into a snowbank along US 395. That matches the account given by 18-year-old Victoria Sharp, who was riding with Finicum, and Mark McConnell, who was riding in another vehicle stopped by police just minutes before the crash and shooting. But those two witnesses contradict one another in some key details. McConnell said he spoke to two other passengers in Finicum's pickup truck who said told him that the rancher charged at law enforcement officers before he was shot.
Right.
Both of those other passengers were arrested and have not publicly spoken about the shooting. Sharp, however, said Finicum got out of his pickup at officers' request and walked toward them with his hands up while daring them to shoot him. He's like, "Just shoot me then. Just shoot me," and they did. They shot him dead, Sharp said. They shot him right there. He was just walking. I saw it. I swear to God.
I'm sure, yeah. Dude. I'm totally sure.
He was just walking.
Although the shoot me already thing does sound like something he would do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. I'm just imagining him. He's like draped in his tarp like a ghost costume with the two eye holes cut out. Marching around, trying to drive his pickup truck with the tarp over his head.
I believe it or not, like I wrote a whole piece about it yesterday.
Yeah.
Banter, and it was pretty vicious. You know, it is a tragedy that the guy's dead. It genuinely is. But the real tragedy is that it could have been avoided incredibly easily.
Oh, yeah.
All he had to do is do what the police told him. That's it. You know, and it's funny because the irony is that I'm making the same, like the tables have turned. Mm-hmm. I am making the same argument that conservatives make all the time when it comes to cops shooting black people.
Yeah, exactly.
Except that in this case, he had a gun.
Yep. He had a gun and
he made it very clear that he was not going to be taken alive.
And he spent the last month.
So you white people can't pull the hands up, don't shoot defense.
Yeah, and that was disproven pretty quickly, right? That was debunked almost within 24 hours of it happening.
Of course, but it doesn't matter. And again, the irony from people who yell about Mike Brown that it was that it was debunked that he didn't have debunked that he had his hands up when he was shot, and now they're but he did. It's they're going to hold on to that. They're going to hold on to that myth forever.
Oh yeah.
Because he has to be a martyr.
God, I love looking at did you see the assembly of mugshots on Think Progress?
Mm-hmm.
It's classic. The headline, after Bundy arrests remaining militia, says they will continue occupation and are prepared to die. Do they? It sounds like they don't understand the stakes here.
Right.
I mean, it sounds like they're just, what are they doing? It's masturbation.
There was another report, I think, that was on Raw Story that said that... that now, like the more recent report said that they told the FBI that they're willing to leave if the FBI agrees not to arrest them. So you can already see how that's going to go.
Yeah. No.
Sure. Okay. Fine. We're not going to arrest you. Come on out. Like 2 minutes later. But you promised.
Right. Right.
These people are children.
They really are. They're children doing dress 'em up.
Yep.
They're pretending to be some sort of militant revolutionary group.
Yep, and they're all going to prison, or they're going to the hereafter.
I mean, what ultimate? I guess the end game here is to hand back this land to the ranchers all around, to protect the land for the ranchers to use, even though it's not theirs to use. It's not their specific property. You know, it's one thing with national parkland, state parkland. It is technically owned by the taxpayer. But not individual taxpayers. Like, you can't go to Yellowstone National Park and say, "Well, it's mine now. This all belongs to me because I'm here." So get out. No, yep. It doesn't work that way.
It
belongs collectively to everyone.
We the people.
And unless I guess they're going to parcel out a few square feet to every citizen of the United States, it doesn't make any sense. So all they're really out there doing is jerking off.
Yeah.
They're jerking off and playing dress them up, playing military dress them up. I mean, the visuals coming out of Oregon continue to confound me and to amuse me, quite honestly, because I love seeing the guys with their military style assault rifles, holding them up to their chest with their flak jackets and their beards.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, basically doing their impression of the guys from 13 Hours. That's what they think they are.
And the fucking fat baby Huey motherfucker,
yeah,
who yells into the camera.
Oh my
this
God.
This is Armageddon. They're going to kill us all. All you patriots need to get out here. Anybody gets in your way, any law enforcement gets in your way, you kill them.
Yep. Exactly. We have that audio, by the way. This is this crazy military guy. The sound is weird because he's screeching into his phone during a, I don't know, they did like a Periscope thing. I guess they're getting internet somehow there. I'm not sure exactly how, but they were able to do a Periscope while they had one of those big earth movers moving around. I guess it was trying to construct a blockade of some sort of barrier.
I think they were digging a trench.
Digging a trench.
Because that's going to help.
That's right. Suddenly it's Passchendaele, World War One.
Yes. Digging on the horizon, here come the Imperial Walkers.
Right. But this guy is a piece of work. It's exactly what you said.
This fat bastard who could never in a million years be in the military. He wouldn't even get in.
If the militia are
dressed, and he's dressed like, you know, he's got his camo on and he's got his assault rifle.
I mean, this guy, if there are snacks missing for the rest of the Oregon militia guys, you can probably check out this guy's duffel bag. And you'll find all the missing snacks. Or, you know, in his stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who sent Twinkies, this guy's got them. In his stomach.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know. Who is this guy anyway?
Who cares?
This is just some crazy militia guy in the wildlife
who
refuge.
Who cares? Screaming, nobody.
Screaming at people. Here it is.
Media's been ordered to leave. That means they're coming to kill us. And they don't want them to see that. They're going to murder all of us. And the media's are cowards.
The media's. Are cowards.
Medias are cowards.
Those goddamn medias.
Yeah, I really like that. I really enjoy that he's like, he's a walking typo-ridden comment on a YouTube page.
That's right.
He's a typo-ridden comment come to life.
Jesus, these guys, these are the kind of guys that I confront all the time on Twitter. Just ridiculous. Stupid people.
Media's been ordered to leave. That means they're coming to kill us. And they don't want them to see that. They're going to murder all of us. And the medias are cowards.
Medias.
Stay and show the truth. Show the truth.
There's the truth.
Why do I want to think that his voice should sound like this? This is the truth. Show it the truth.
Exactly, because you're thinking Dan Bedondi.
God bless those mental kids.
And where is Bedondi in all this? Why isn't he there?
I don't know. You know what? I just looked at his YouTube account, his YouTube page, and there hasn't been a new Truth Radio show in a long time. Mm. And the ones that are up there, most of them are narrated by someone else.
Wow.
I think we scared him off.
You know what? One of us has to take a trip to Providence in search of Dan Bedondi.
We'll make it into a documentary.
Let's try to track him down.
We'll crowdfund a documentary. Search. Yeah.
It'll
searching.
Be like, you know, like you see the. Have you seen the hairless Bigfoot? I've got reports of the hair. I took a picture of the hairless Bigfoot. He was out behind the Safeway. It's like a picture of him, like kind of crawling past a dumpster. Big hairless thing.
That's right. And all the photographs will be blurry because they have to be. But it sounds just like him. By the way, we've got Dan Bedondi did post something on his Facebook page about Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders.
Oh, no.
Which is going to be all. We're going to read it on the show here, coming up in a little bit. It's just going to be. It's so good. So good. A little bit more of this militia guy before we break.
Media's been waiting for a bloodbath this whole time we've been here. Now there's going to be one and they're running. They're told to run because the feds don't want to know who's murdering us. American people better wake up. get here and fight for your country right now. It is on.
Wow. Well, now that he puts it that way, I'm flying out there.
Totally.
He's making such a convincing argument. How can you not go out there and help him out?
It's on. It is on.
It's more like this. It's on. It's on. Like, oh, good. Well, now in that case, let me book my flight. Get my AR-15 and my stupid military cosplay uniform.
I'll go down to the surplus store.
Oh my God.
Buy an extra triple extra large set of fatigues.
It would be so great if a bunch of actual cosplayers showed up.
Oh my God, that'd be awesome.
You know, dressed like the Wonder Twins and characters from Star Trek. Got to be a Klingon in there somewhere. Just all started marching up and down with them. Like, well, we figured you were playing dress up, so we just brought our uniforms. Maybe some Civil War reenactors.
MilitiaCon 2016.
That's exactly right. Oh my God. All right, we're going to play a little more of this audio in just a second. Okay, it is Harry's Razors. Okay, so just before the show, I don't know, I waited the last minute to do this, but just before the show, I shaved using my new 5-blade German-engineered Harry's razor and my Harry's shave gel, and I swear to God, I had to stop halfway through because it felt like there weren't any blades in the razor. The shave was that smooth. There's simply no way I'm going back to paying $32 for an 8-pack of store-bought blades in their stupid glass cases. I'm sticking with Harry's for blades that cost half the price of the leading in-store brands, and they're so much better. Harry's prices are already really low, but we've worked out a special offer for you guys. Harry's will give you $5 off your first order with the promo code B&C. That's B&C for Bob and Chez. Stop overpaying for a great shave and start the new year off right. Go to harrys.com right now. Do it now. That's HARRYS.com and enter the code B&C at checkout. Harry's is totally disrupting the shaving industry, and you can be a part of it. By the way, Harry's isn't just for guys. If you want a clean, smooth shave, ladies, try Harry's on your legs and armpits. And don't be surprised if you're like me and you wonder whether there are actual blades in your Harry's razor. Again, go to harrys.com, enter the promo code B&C for $5 off your first Harry's shave. $5 off. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face or legs with Harry's razors. That's HARRYS.com. Dedicated to Lavoie Finicum.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
You know, I feel like we didn't get our full share of Lavoie Finicum fun. Too soon. Too soon. Yeah. We lost the Tart Man too soon. I was hoping to get a little bit more material out of Tart Man Lavoie Finicum before he decided to, whatever it was, charge the police with his tarp and his truck and... Alright. So this Night Ranger song goes out to Lavoie Finicum.
It's a trap!
Let's continue with a little bit more of this this video from this Baby Huey organ militiaman.
Yeah,
who just decided that it would be fun to just screech. Screeching is probably not a very good recruitment tool.
Well, he's angry.
he's pissed off. Sad. And they're trying to kill. Here we go.
I mean, you know, we've had to listen to Alex Jones before. This is basically just an outcropping of that.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing. It's the same kind of people. It's the Alex Jones people. They all think that there's a revolution coming, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
when the militia comes after you, FBI.
All you military that's been fighting for your country overseas.
Wait. What the f*** was that?
He was just doing a rendition of the Cops theme song.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Let's go back here a second.
What you gonna do when the militia comes after you, FBI?
Wow. All you military.
Man, someone sent whiskey. Someone sent some bourbon to the military cosplayers.
He just ate a whole box of chocolates.
That's right. He's just kind of whacked out on Red Bull and chocolates.
That's been fighting for your country overseas. You can fight for your country right here in America. Get here. Get some. This is history in the...
Get here. Get some.
Get some what? Donuts, you fat...
That's the new slogan for the Oregon militia standoff. Get here, get some.
Get some.
Get some.
Yeah, you know what? I realize that, you know, I know you've enjoyed playing Call of Duty. I know you're pretty good at that probably, but this is not the same.
Is he recruiting ladies or something? Is that why get here, get some? Because look how hot I am.
Get some is, you do know that, like, get some is a popular phrase.
Yeah, what, with militia guys, with Call of Duty cosplayers?
No, get some is like, you've seen it in movies, man. It's like, you know, the aliens descending on you. Come on, get some, you know, that crap.
That's, I see, okay, all right.
That's, yeah. So he's basically issuing a challenge because fat ass there is going to take down a bunch of, I don't know, federal agents or something.
Yep.
Instead of being dropped the second he puts his hand on his gun.
Well, that's what it's coming down to. I mean, obviously, we've been talking about this for some time now. Is that eventually this is going to end with some big shootout and bloodbath?
What's the line from Firefly? Your hand touches metal, I swear by my pretty little bonnet, I will end you.
Exactly.
Yeah, dude, you even so much as reach in the direction of that weapon you're carrying, and you will have a hole in your head instantly.
That's right. God, but they just don't know, because again, for them, it's all that it's so real, but it's so make believe at the same time too.
Exactly,
just
it really is. This is nobility to them. This is all noble. This is all this fight that they're engaging in against the evil, oppressive, tyrannical federal government, which is such nonsense.
I mean, do they really understand now? I mean, I hope at least now they understand that they could really be shot and killed.
Yeah.
I get the feeling that they are so delusional that they don't fully grasp the life and death situation that they're in.
Yeah.
They think it's like paintball meets laser tag.
Right. But really, you know what? The feds have proven, obviously, what happened a couple days ago could have been a bloodbath.
Right.
But the feds have proven that they've shown an incredible amount of restraint over the past month.
Oh my God, you know,
they do not want a Ruby Ridge. They do not want a Waco. They know that.
Yep.
So they'll wait them out. They'll continue to wait them out. They'll wait till they get tired, bored, whatever, go home. Or, yeah, you know what? They'll raid them. And if they give up quietly, then nobody gets hurt. You know, they try to go out in a blaze of glory. They're going to go out in a blaze of glory. No, they're just going to go out in a blaze of stupidity. In a light fog of stupidity.
Speaking of a blaze of stupidity, we got to talk about this. I got another Republican debate tonight, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Donald Trump evidently is not going to show up because he's trying to... He's either afraid of Megyn Kelly or he's trying to punish Fox News Channel. I think it's he's punishing Fox News Channel. This whole fracas between Donald Trump and Fox News is endlessly fascinating to me.
It is. It absolutely is. There's never been anything like it in modern politics.
That's right. So basically,
if you are somebody, if you can distance yourself from the fact that Donald Trump is just a nightmare on feet... It is fascinating just from a sort of objective, like if you can step outside yourself, it's a fascinating thing to watch.
Oh, it really, really is. And now what Donald Trump is doing is he's basically out Fox News channeling Fox News Channel.
Absolutely.
I mean,
he's
essentially turning Fox News Channel into the liberal media. He's making it sound as if he's using the same sort of the liberal media is out to get us kind of attack and directing that at Fox News Channel.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's turning Fox News Channel into the establishment liberal media by approaching them from their right flank.
Yep, absolutely.
And using all the same techniques that Fox News Channel has used against networks like MSNBC or the Obama administration or the progressive movement, et cetera, Media Matters and so on. It's basically like Fox News Channel is now Media Matters and Donald Trump is now like Bill O'Reilly.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's astounding to observe all of this. Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump abruptly announced on Tuesday that he would not participate in Thursday's scheduled debate, escalating his off-and-on feud with Fox News Channel and throwing the GOP campaign into turmoil. Trump's assertion, which his campaign manager insisted was irreversible, came less than 1 week before the Iowa, the kickoff Iowa caucuses. Once again, he once again defied the conventional rules of politics and used his power and prominence to shape the campaign agenda and conversation.
But that's and right there, that's it. That's your answer.
Yeah.
Josh Marshall wrote an amazing piece about that today over at Talking Points Memo,
right,
where he sort of dissected the fact that all of this is a power play.
Yeah.
And that's Donald Trump's entire shtick, is he's constantly operating from a place of power.
That's right.
From a place of authority. He's showing Fox News that he is in charge.
Yep.
He is the alpha male in all of this, and he is the alpha male in all things. That's the idea. That's one of the reasons why, you know, Ezra Klein wrote a piece a while back that I thought was really astute. And it said that Donald Trump's biggest weakness is the fact that he always wins. Mm-hmm. Because if he even begins to lose, his mystique goes out the window.
Yeah.
It's gone. He has to always win. He has to always be winning. And if all it's going to take is a small loss to shatter that. You know, lose a couple primaries, not do well at the caucus, something like that.
Yeah, but it's so funny. I mean, I just looked at the polls the other day. Trump continues to gain. It is astonishing how he continues to improve. I mean, I think in one poll, his numbers jumped by 10 points, while all of the other candidates went down by at least 1 point. I know, like, Ted Cruz went down by 1 point, the rest of the candidates down by more than that. I think one other candidate maybe jumped up a little bit. But it was, I mean, it was one of the lower tier candidates. It was like Huckabee suddenly did 2 points
better.
This
thing tonight is an insane gambit.
It really
it
is.
And nobody else could do it. But Trump can do it.
Because
no matter what, even if these other idiots have, 2 hours, whatever it is, to beat him up on live television, it doesn't matter. Because the fact that he's not there is what they're going to be talking about. He's already proven that he's tougher and better than them.
Well, here's how the gambit works. Because Fox News Channel will be hosting this debate. Meanwhile, Donald Trump's going to be doing an event in Iowa with veterans, like honoring the veterans.
Stop right there, because he's not.
Oh, he's not.
That's something that just came out. Something that just broke.
Yeah.
Is that his? If you look at the information on this event that he's doing, he's the one saying it's for veterans, and whatever the hell her name is, Pearson, his idiot spokesperson, she's saying that it's for veterans. But actually, the money that's being raised today, it goes to the Donald J. Trump Foundation.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll
make the argument that, well, look, you know what? We did it quickly, so we didn't have time to organize anything. We'll dispense it to veterans. But it's all a ruse. It's all
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and in fact, Rick Santorum and Mike Huckabee are both going to be there. But the point being that while Fox News Channel is doing the debate, you better believe that MSNBC and CNN are going to be covering the Trump event. So while Fox News may have the share of debate viewers, the other two networks, the other two cable news networks, two news networks are going to be covering the Trump event because they can't. Because then that's what MSNBC always does now.
Yeah.
Anytime there's a Trump event, they cut to it live. So Trump is getting two networks out of this, basically. Yeah. Coverage from two networks. And I think he's banking on the fact that whatever losses he may incur by not participating in this last Iowa debate before the caucus, that he's going to gain, at least mitigate any damage, by being on not one but two different networks at the same time.
Yeah,
because, I mean, CNN's not going to be able to cover the debate while it's happening, but they will be able to cover the Trump event, and everyone's going to want to know what the hell is Trump doing during the debate.
Yeah,
I still haven't ruled out the fact that he may just end up showing up at the last minute.
But I think that's less and less of a possibility. That is completely true.
Yeah.
We're way, way into virgin territory with Trump.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nobody knows what the hell's happening. In terms of Trump.
I mean, can you believe?
But you know what, though? I want to say something really quick, because, you know, a lot of times when I make my arguments about Bernie Sanders, a lot of people always say, well, you know, nobody can predict anything because look at what's happening with Donald Trump. Nobody could have predicted that. But actually, you know what? You kind of could have.
Yeah.
You really could have. Not because this, we're not talking, when I talk about Bernie, I'm talking about the entire country, and I'm talking about the sane voters. When it comes to the lunatics over on the right, mm-hmm. the rise of Trump is not all that surprising.
Oh, no.
I mean, the fact that he's doing as well as he is, maybe a little bit, and the fact that he's been able to overcome things that other people haven't, that's a little bit shocking. Mm-hmm. But his existence and his popularity should not come as a shock to anybody.
Yeah.
Fox News has spent years creating this f***ing monster.
Yeah, they completely cultivated this environment for a couple of decades now. And yeah. And this is what, and well, it was AM talk radio, too. It was both
right. Fox News. Exactly. Yeah, the conservative media complex.
And, right, exactly. And then you add into that operatives like William Crystal and some of the others of his ilk who have been elevating politicians, whether Tea Party politicians or establishment Republicans, who are marble mouth know-nothings,
yeah.
who shout bumper stickers.
Yeah.
I mean, again, William Crystal may be running away from Donald Trump, but William Crystal gave us Sarah Palin.
Yeah. Oh, and Sarah Palin was like one of the most recent stations of the cross that Republican politics walked before getting to Trump.
Yeah. I mean, she's the proto Trump.
She is. Exactly.
She's sort of the test market for Trump. Now, Trump is doing all the things that Sarah Palin should have done, but didn't have the discipline to do.
Right.
Like, Sarah Palin's got no discipline. She's got no taste whatsoever.
None whatsoever. And she doesn't know how to work an audience the way Trump does.
Yeah, and of course, Trump
knows how to control the message. He's brilliant at working the media. There's no, and I'm not saying that as a compliment to him, but it's absolutely true.
Well,
he knows
exactly
right. How to work the media.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's exactly right. When we come back from a break, we're going to talk about this a little more. Talk about Palin's defense of Trump's decision. Which, of course, is a thing. She posted on Facebook her defense of Donald Trump skipping the debate. Going to talk about that. But, I mean, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be another big ratings grab for Trump, no matter what he does.
Yep.
No matter what he does. And if anyone doubts that he's going to be the nominee, I think you're living in a fantasy land. I think Trump is absolutely going to be the nominee. There's no way he can lose at this point.
The only way Trump isn't going to be the nominee is if the Republicans have a shocking road to Damascus moment epiphany where they decide through some kind of crisis of conscience that they cannot attach their name to him. And they're willing to allow themselves to be torn apart by not nominating him.
All right. Well, more Bob and Chez show right after this. Okay. Let's talk about supporting independent media. For only $1 a month, you can help finance the Bob and Chez show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's 12 cents per show. Go now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez and sign up for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, or whatever you can afford. If you sign up for $5 or more, you'll get special Patreon-only shows like our post-mortem wrap-up show, the Not Safe for Work after-party show, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of the free Tuesday and Thursday shows. Most of all, you'll be supporting a totally independent podcast not affiliated with corporate media. And if we reach our $7,500 per month goal, we'll bring you new shows 5 days a week, Mondays through Fridays. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link just below the logo at BobSeska.com and say it with me now. We get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing. You save a ton of money. You shop conveniently from the comfort of your own home and your jammies, and it helps support the show. So thank you in advance for that. All right, so I just noticed this come down. Here are the sexist slurs being tweeted at Megyn Kelly by Trump supporters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is over 24 hours.
Before you even start, let's talk about the one that he retweeted, which first of all came from, needless to say, a white supremacist website or white supremacist account. And the one that has the picture of her from the 2010 GQ photo shoot where he calls her a bimbo.
Right. God. I mean, talk about making Megyn Kelly, of all people, a sympathetic character.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus. Let's start from the least tweeted epithet to the most yes. tweeted mm-hmm. epithet. With 13 tweets from Donald Trump supporters comes the word hooker, referring to Megyn Kelly. Hooker. With 27 tweets, slut. With 34 tweets, 39 tweets, skank. 66 tweets, cheap. Oh, wait, ugly. With 59 tweets, ugly. And then cheap with 66 tweets. Then whore at 88 tweets. This is somehow an epithet. Blonde at 128 tweets. Bimbo at 404 tweets. And at 423 tweets, bitch. So there you go.
I really thought there'd be more
Yeah, I'm surprised. I gotta take my hats off, my hat off to the Donald Trump supporters for not using the C word more often to describe Megyn Kelly. That's a step forward for them. I don't know. Doesn't really seem like it on the surface, but you know, it could have been more. Yeah. The C word could have been number one, but it was bitch. So they're maybe pulling their punches a little bit.
Yeah,
but hooker, slut, skank, cheap, ugly, blonde, bimbo, bitch, whore.
Yep, there you go.
Is the rundown from, oh man, totally classy Donald Trump supporters. Go figure.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter. Okay, so Sarah Palin defended Trump's decision on her Facebook page. And it was pretty much what you could expect from Sarah Palin.
Just a series of nouns, verbs, and adjectives.
Exactly. So here we go. This is Sarah Palin tweeted this the other day. It's got 4.5 million likes. Good God. Yeah. That makes me a little nauseous. I just got a little sick right there. 4.5, almost 4.6 million likes for this. Media, colon, here, let me define for you a genuine, quote-unquote, game changer. Regarding Donald Trump honoring our U.S. veterans instead of playing tonight's much ballyhooed media debate game, of course Trump owns the issue, and he'll own tonight. Any journalist or media outlet perched upon a pedestal, all spun up for ratings' sake, pretending to be kingmaker in a presidential election, obviously can't understand how passe and laughable an elitist attitude is to Americans. I don't understand that sentence at all.
Doesn't matter.
Trump just spoke for the majority of us who are through with a prejudiced press and a political hierarchy expecting us to hit our knees at their command. So this is basically
remember again, this is Fox News she's talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
This is an organization that used to give her a paycheck.
Yes.
That paid her
up to millions of dollars, I'm sure. Enough is enough. Trump's victory on this issue proves we have a choice. The courageous GOP frontrunner is speaking for us with his screw it biased media, the people deserve better, red line. Finally, Trump will now lead others with this empowerment to go around media filters and egos and everything else that's stood between people with a heart to serve and the voters.
Yeah, right.
Let me try this again.
Because the internet didn't do that.
Trump will now lead others with this empowerment to go around media filters and egos and everything else that stood between people with a heart to serve and the voters. Period. I don't,
she writes the way she talks.
That's
or
right.
Or she talks the way she writes, depending on how
I'm surprised she doesn't end every missive like this with dictated, but not read. Because I'm sure she just dictates this crap into Siri and then it just goes up as, you know, through all the Chardonnay.
Yeah.
This is a genuine game changer, and media assumptions of all stripes can never be the same. Candidates speaking directly with us is what we've craved, and opposed to the mocking heads. Oh, I get it. The mocking heads instead of the talking heads.
She's very clever, that one.
Yeah, and we can expect to hear that one a million different times over the next year. As opposed to the mocking heads narrative crafted behind cameras, teleprompters, and an airbrushed flawlessness that's more transparent than they've realized. It's been a sad herd mentality and a lot of laziness on the part of many mediums.
Okay, that, sure, why not?
That result in a targeted person's trashed record and reputation. That's changing. That's why they're coming unglued. Trump's entire candidacy exposes government and media establishments' politics of destruction, and his efforts allow us to connect more dots, which has rocked their insular world. Light shining on all this is good. We're on our way to a great awakening that will make America great again. By the grace of God. Jesus Christ. Of course, choosing a patriotic military event over yet one more orchestrated debate is a winning rogue move on Trump's part.
Oh, there it is, rogue. Ding, ding.
I mean, again, you know what? I mean, again, I can't get over the fact that this is Fox News Channel she's talking about.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's astonishing. I mean, there's, what if Trump becomes president? What is Fox News Channel going to do? Does it suddenly become the cheerleader for, like, the congressional Republicans? Like, well, I hope the congressional Republicans really stick it to President Trump, you know, the Republican president. I
mean, just imagine for a minute what a Trump press conference would look like as president.
Jesus Christ.
Get him out of here. I don't like that question. You know what? I don't think that's a very fair question. Get him out of here.
Right, and it's Secret Service hustling them out.
Yeah.
Instead of his security goons. Silly politics. You know
what's really sad, though, if I may interrupt for just a second, is that Sarah Palin is making a hugely important point here.
Right.
She just happens to think it's something good, whereas it's actually something absolutely fucking awful for this country.
Yeah.
Which is, she's thrilled that the media, who are basically experts in things, don't matter anymore. And now any idiot can dictate what gets heard. And, you know, you and I have talked about it several times. I kind of used to be that way. I was like, oh, you know what? The new media revolution, man, it's so awesome. Social media, anybody can have a voice now. And it's, you know, I will fully admit that you and I benefit from that because we can obviously do this podcast.
Yeah.
I can write stuff and put it up online. But I like to think that both you and I and we are responsible.
Exactly.
You know, that we take our responsibility, having come from a journalistic background, we take our responsibility to tell the truth. And even though we put opinions out there, to have them based on fact, we take that seriously. And she's basically saying that, no, you know what? It's just what, say whatever the f*** you want.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we never comport ourselves as doing a serious, like, you know, analytical news show. I mean, this is, I mean, it's half comedy, half political news. I mean, that's what we do. We mix it all up. But I mean, we're completely upfront about that. So it's not like we're trying to come off as some serious news organization either. Yeah. I mean, we're completely upfront about all of that.
But bring back, again, I'm very much at the point where it's like, bring back the gatekeepers.
Yeah.
I'm really kind of tired of every single moron having a say. I don't like the idea that people who really know what the hell they're doing and people who know what they're talking about and people who use a sort of scientific journalistic method to put news on the air, news and information, can be completely bypassed by idiots.
Exactly.
By idiots.
Exactly. And you know what?
That has a huge effect on our political, not just our political discourse, but who gets into office to begin with.
I mean, we're really entering into, and of course, it's difficult to say this knowing what we've been through already with this election, but we're entering into, like, a really super stupid phase in the election, and it's sweeping across both parties, and it's really disappointing. Right. And I'm not singling out Bernie Sanders, and I'm not singling out Hillary Clinton either, but I don't know what you would call it, a silly season that's erupting. And I guess it's just because of the tension of Iowa coming up and New Hampshire. Maybe that has something to do with it. But there's smart people making stupid points and fueling, I think, some first time, I'm not saying all first timers, but people who are just following their first election this time around. Making ridiculous, thin, baseless assumptions about how things work.
Yeah, it is a little bit scary. I don't like the idea. And yeah, you know what? It does. I will say it. I think that it does come down a little bit more on Bernie Sanders' side than it does on Hillary, because Bernie is a candidate who's energizing the youth. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah.
But it's very easy when you're really young to get to think you know how politics works in the country, like genuinely how the system itself works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And admittedly, sometimes doesn't work. But how it works, what can get done, and suddenly being told, being sold sort of this unicorn pie in the sky fantasy version of what can be possible.
Well, the way we're going to illustrate this is we're going to talk about this video, this whiteboard video that Robert Reich made this week in support of Bernie Sanders. Now, there were 6 points. Robert Reich basically dispelling, I guess, myths, like skeptical myths about Bernie Sanders. There were 6 items that Robert Reich covered. Half of them don't make any sense, or they're at least not very strong, I should say, in terms of defending Bernie Sanders. And then the other half aren't even things. So it's almost like they're stupid things coming from Hillary people. So it's like half and half. So it perfectly illustrates the fact that there are just a lot of stupid memes going around. And it's really discouraging that it's happening on the left now. It's happening on the Democratic side. Not to the severity, obviously, as what's been happening on the right.
Oh, my God, no.
But it's there is some competition stirring up there as far as saying just or making stupid prognostications about how this election is going to go. We're going to talk about that after a short break. We're going to wrap up the show right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Welcome back to our Thursday show. Thanks for supporting us at Patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Okay, we're going to talk about this Robert Reich whiteboard video. It's been going around on Facebook. I don't think we're talking about something that's too insidery. I think this has been something that's been circulated around the internet this week.
And I'll say right off the bat that you know, everybody's guilty of it. I mean, if we see something that we like, someone who we respect say something that happens to agree with us, we tend to pass it on.
Yeah.
But the appeals to authority on Robert Reich that I've seen,
yeah,
where it's, well, Robert Reich says it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, I think Robert Reich is awesome. I think he's an incredibly smart guy. It doesn't
I completely agree. Yeah, I mean, God, it's so frustrating because these are weak arguments. Again, I'd like to think that by challenging some of these misperceptions about the Bernie Sanders campaign, that it's going to make the Bernie Sanders campaign better, or at least some of the people who were reaching, who are Bernie Sanders supporters, hopefully it'll make their arguments in support of Bernie Sanders stronger. Because if this is what they've got to defend the Bernie Sanders campaign, it's on really thin territory, at least when it comes to these specific points. Now, what Robert Reich did is he had his whiteboard, of course, where he scribbles on it with a magic marker and makes it look fancy and whatever, with little bubbles and arrows and crap like that. And he went through items, line items, or memes, whatever you want to call them, that are being used by skeptics, people who are skeptical of Bernie Sanders' candidacy. And I would put myself into that category. I consider myself a Bernie Sanders skeptic. I'm not opposed to Bernie Sanders. I like Bernie Sanders. Quite honestly, if he's the nominee, I hope he crushes the Republicans.
Of course.
I'm very concerned, though, about some things that I've been seeing on the Bernie Sanders side, especially lately. And these are some things that Robert Reich kind of tried to dispel by evaluating all these skeptical claims. His first skeptical claim that he tried to debunk was, number one, he'd never beat Trump or Cruz. Sanders would never beat Trump or Cruz. Well, Reich's response suggests that Bernie Sanders indeed does have a polling advantage over the Republicans in the general election, more so than Hillary Clinton has an advantage. Unfortunately, we talked about this on Tuesday, PolitiFact determined that Bernie's version of this assessment, that he has a better chance against the Republicans than Hillary, is false.
Yeah.
PolitiFact says false. Now, while there's one poll, it's an NBC Wall Street Journal poll, shows Sanders leading Trump and Clinton also leading Trump, but Sanders leading Trump by more. Sanders also, in that same poll, trails Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, while Hillary Clinton performs slightly better. PPP shows Trump losing, shows Sanders losing to Trump, Cruz, and Rubio, while Clinton defeats all three. So there's a number of polls like this that show Hillary actually performing better than Sanders against the Republicans. So that's that. And so to cite one poll in a vacuum, thin. I mean, that's, I mean, obviously,
extremely.
You have to admit that that's weak. So, I mean, all you got to do, again, is look at PolitiFact, and let's not game the referees on this either. Well, PolitiFact, they're clearly in the bag for Hillary, yada-da-da-da. That's not the case.
Don't do that.
We have to have neutral arbiters here. PolitiFact is as close as we get. Factcheck.org is another one. So, but number two, skeptical claim, Congress would reject Bernie's ideas. Robert Reich reminds us that if Congress remains in the hands of the Republicans, Hillary Clinton wouldn't be able to do much legislatively either. But that's not necessarily true, because Clinton's agenda obviously is more moderate.
Yes.
So while the Republicans are going to try to be obstructionists like they always have been, it'll be easier for Hillary Clinton than Bernie Sanders to shake loose some centrists and some center-right Republicans, especially in the House of Representatives, as well as the Blue Dog Democrats. And the that's a very important point about the Blue Dog Democrats. We'll get to that in a second. Who would otherwise oppose Sanders' more leftist agenda. You know, so there is a better shot, I think, for Hillary just by the very fact that she's more moderate than Bernie Sanders.
I agree. I mean, they hate her, but still.
And then Reich says that that Bernie could bring about a Democratic majority in Congress. So let's say, you know, that means 51 Democratic votes in the Senate and a majority in the House. But that's no. But it's he's going to have huge coattails to overcome the Democratic deficit in Congress right now, as far as the number of seats. It's a big if to say he'll be able to do all these things if he gets Congress back. But it's hard to really imagine how that's going to happen without some big event like we talked about on Tuesday, some big massive financial collapse again or something like that. But it's not just a matter of getting 51 votes in the Senate. He's going to have to at least get a filibuster-proof majority of 60, and then he's going to need another 10 Democratic votes above and beyond that to account for the Blue Dog Democrats, who will join with the Republicans to filibuster single payer, just like they killed the public option in 2009.
Yeah, I mean, and I love that. That's something that again, I think that certainly the youth vote, they may not even have been around for that fight.
For the Obamacare
really
fight.
Only a few years ago.
Yeah.
But these people who think that he's going to be able to push through single payer, do you not remember, again, maybe you don't, maybe you're too young to remember, the nightmare that Obama had just trying to push through the ACA?
Yeah. With the public option that was killed, and then it was back, and then it was killed, and then it was back, and then ultimately it was killed.
Yeah, well, he just didn't fight hard enough. He didn't use the bully pulpit. He didn't, you know, that's shit. Yeah. Again, not how politics works.
Well, if you remember, too, that when the public option was killed, it was sort of the pre-Bernie Sanders supporters who wanted to kill the entire Affordable Care Act because there was
no
public option.
Exactly, exactly.
You remember,
they have to have purity.
Yeah, kill the bill. That was late 2009, early 2010. Kill the bill was the rallying cry on the left.
Exactly.
Because it didn't have a public
option. Because getting some of what you want is never good enough. You have to get all of what you want.
So what kind of political revolution are we going to have that will bring about... That will take the Democrats from what is it? It's a 51-49 split right now, or 52-48 split. What's going to bring the Democrats an additional 22 seats in the Senate?
Yeah,
I mean that's
exactly.
I mean,
it is completely underestimating the power of this movement that Bernie is supposedly commanding.
I mean, remember, Obama came in the midst of the beginnings of the recession, a huge financial collapse that was able that kind of propelled him to a larger margin of victory than he otherwise would have had. And he only barely got to 60. He got to 60 votes in the Senate by the skin of the Democrats' teeth, because Al Franken was neck and neck in, was it Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
Where it was, it came down to recount after recount after recount, and it wasn't until January when we finally had that seat settled. And then it was lost again in the middle of that summer in 2009 when Ted Kennedy died.
Yep.
So, I mean, it was hanging by a thread.
Exactly.
And somehow we're to believe that somehow there's going to be a 70-seat majority. Now, I will grant this, that it's important for someone to make it acceptable inside the D.C. establishment to talk about single-payer health care. Because eventually it's going to have to happen, but it's only going to happen in small moves. And Bernie Sanders is starting a conversation in the mainstream now that's making it easier, I think, for Democrats to talk about single-payer health care.
Not a damn thing wrong with that.
Very positive stuff. But actually passing it is a completely different story. Now, the next thing was the skeptical claim is that America would never elect a socialist. And then, of course, Robert Reich makes the off-the-shelf argument that there are many popular socialist programs in the United States. Therefore,
Doesn't matter. We've gone over this in polls so many times.
Yep.
The minute you tag something as socialist, actually label it as socialist.
That's right.
That's when people lose their minds.
Great point. Because like with Obamacare, you ask people if they like Obamacare, and they say no. But when you ask people if they like the individual tenets of Obamacare, and they go, yeah, of course. So you try to sell socialism as a lump thing, even if you call it democratic socialism, it's going to be, first of all, it's going to be demonized like hell. I mean, it's going to be demagogued and smeared left and right by the Republicans.
It's the thing that I said last week when I wrote that piece about Bernie Sanders that got me so much crap from his fanatics. Bernie Sanders, the election of Bernie Sanders would depend on an America that looks at the words democratic socialism and considers them as a demographic that or an electorate that is intelligent and nuanced. Yeah. Americans are not fucking intelligent and nuanced.
No, they're not. And it's going to take It's going to take much longer than 9 months between now and November for Bernie Sanders to convince, you know, whatever it is, I mean, how many thousands of tens of thousands of American voters that socialism isn't this scary boogeyman?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're talking about changing the paradigm that's been around for decades.
In 9 months.
Yep.
Now, the other three here, I actually agreed with Robert Reich, quite frankly. Number four, the skeptical claim his single-payer proposal will require raising taxes on the middle class. Well, I should say I wrote my response, thought up my response on this before a Vox.com piece came out today saying that Bernie Sanders' healthcare plan is going to cost twice as much than he's projecting. But but and that's in Vox.com. But I'm with Sanders and Reich on this insofar as Bernie's numbers show that middle-class Americans will actually have a savings because the amount in which their taxes are raised will be less than the amount that they would have paid in premiums otherwise. So they're actually saving money. Number five, his plan for free college tuition would mean colleges would be run by government rules. That's the skeptical claim. I've never heard that. I've never heard that skeptical claim about
neither have I.
Sanders' free college tuition plan. Never. So I don't even know where that comes from. Number six, he's too old. Well, that's bullshit as well. I mean, you know, Reich makes the point that the 70s are the new 60s, which is encouraging to me as I approach 50.
Right.
But, you know, it's his age is a non-issue. He released his medical records today. He looks like he's in really good shape. He's had some skin things taken care of over the years. I mean, there's nothing.
I'll bet he's not in the kind of shape that Donald Trump's in, though. Because Donald Trump is just in the best shape ever.
Yeah. And by the way, is there anyone talking about Chris Christie's fitness to not only be president, but to run for president?
Exactly.
No.
You know, something important about Reich that I think is a point that I think is worth making.
Yeah.
You know, look at the sort of the vast scope of pieces being written about this, pieces being written about Bernie and Hillary and whatever. No one looking at this objectively is arguing vehemently that Bernie can win. Everyone arguing for Bernie is working backward. They're starting with the fact that they love him, and then they're looking for reasons why he can succeed and reverse engineering their arguments to support that confirmation bias.
Exactly. Now,
there's nobody who's just saying, all right, you know what? I don't have a dog in this fight and I don't care, but look, you know what? Bernie can win.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a denial here too, and that denial is frustrating to me because it's a denial about, and I'm not just going to go down this thing that I'm always talking about, which is political, which we're both talking about, which is political reality. There's just there's certain things that you do to be successful running for president, and I'm seeing some of it, I'm not seeing all of it. And when I don't see all of it, I want to know why it's all not there. Like, why does Bernie Sanders seem to be, I don't know, picking a fight with Obama? I mean, that's what I keep coming down
exactly,
to. Like,
exactly, because Obama hasn't done enough. It's the return of those people. The return of the people who are like, you know what, Obama, for all of the astonishing things that he accomplished for progressives, he just hasn't done enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's my unicorn? I want my unicorn.
Yeah. I mean, it's all...
I want my unicorn now, Daddy.
I mean, when you're running for president against a terrible Republican like George W. Bush, I can see the allusions to this tragic hellscape that we're dealing with in the United States. But when it's against a friendly president from your own party, you don't necessarily want to undermine the successes that have been taking place over the last 8 years, because it obviously will blow back on yourself, too, because you're running as part of that party. All right, we got the postmortem show coming up next. We're going to talk about Dan Badani's reaction to Bernie and Trump and so on, which we didn't get to on the free show. Sorry. Plus a whole lot more. Sign up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez at the $5 level to get the postmortem show. And we'll see you over there, folks. Bye-bye.